Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the NXT Vengeance Day review. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Hamflett from What Culture, to review everything that happened at the NXT over the weekend. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of these sort of things, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, where we not only review the show formerly known as NXT 2.0. Oh, I said pay-per-views, premium live events, we have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a round of complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Hamflett to review NXT Vengeance Day. And, oh, God, sorry about this, Hamflett. I appear to have mixed my notes up here because this looks like an NXT takeover.
Oh, the cognitive dissonance between anyone that might have listened through this podcast feed alone to our NXT Vengeance Day preview and this review we're going to give, and for that matter, all of our NXT coverage.
They made us film it.
Here's the deal, right? We can't wait. And what are the kids on Twitter saying now? Cooking.
Yeah.
We might be cooking up. Nothing for now. Nothing for now. But down the line, we might be, there might be some video podcast news. Yeah. A long way down the line. We'd love to, we're not in much control of that. But down the line, video podcast news incoming one day maybe. And every now and then there's an overlap that ties into our reviews instead of the Get the Tables. And we were able to record for YouTube the Vengeance Day preview. Go and check it out if you want. But if you listen to it, it must have been so confusing.
Yeah.
Because
we won't be doing it again. It did shocking views.
Well, so. I'm not surprised. We were analysing the show like it was a wrestling one instead of what we normally do on a Tuesday and a Wednesday. Please, for God's sake, listen to our NXT previews and reviews. Oh. If you tried that and thought, well, this just sounds like a boring version of the wrestling that I like, because we agree. But what we do is, as a result, there's a world of wonder to be found on Tuesdays in the Performance Center. And what I'm getting to a point here. What was so strange about this show, other than elements of it that were like earnestly great, was that seeing these wrestlers in a quote-unquote normal building in front of fans that had actually paid to be there was like genuinely jarring. This has happened once before.
Yeah.
We were in the building.
We were.
So I didn't have that first time, holy crap, this is happening on television, because I was just there to see them in the flesh. And if anything, it kind of felt like, well, we're about one of the three people we know in the whole world that are advocates for this show, so these people make sense to us. They don't need to make sense to the residents of Dallas. No. They make sense to us.
And that's what people killing time before night one of WrestleMania, us two, and that little girl in front of us who was adorable. She had the little
discovered
signs.
Wrestling through NXT 2.0.
It's Johnny Gargano they keep chatting about, she
Long
said.
Long road ahead for her. And crucially, in that building, the... I was going to say the Allstate, but that's Chicago. What was it called?
It was the...
We went to like three separate shows, isn't it?
American Airlines,
thank you. It was very, very heavily tarped off. Like a one-sided building. Even our side that was kind of full wasn't entirely full. They were moving people down into face hard camera. There was nothing. We were staring at basically, more black material than you see in an average House of Black entrance. There's that much covering all these seats in this building. They, I believe, tarped off the top bowl of this venue. But otherwise, they were shooting the whole thing, weren't they? The hard camera side was packed. The side behind the hard camera was packed. This looked every bit like a full venue. I mean, there were more people than that was there for Dynamite, so that's why it looked so busy.
And I mean... folks, where's the lie?
Loved AW fans getting wound up about this on the internet.
That's so funny. So funny. It's fine, right? NXT drew something like 5,500 for this show to a Dynamite that drew about 5,000. The numbers weren't even that different, right? Mm. However, NXT, some would agree rightfully so, takes... We're going long here because the matches themselves like can be cut through pretty quickly.
Yeah, I'm just going to do the results, I'll be honest.
Compared to the 50 angles we review a week on NXT, this is quite succinct. So let's talk about this instead. Yeah, those attendances came out, and maybe it was 1,000 in attendance difference, right? And from between this show in Charlotte, North Carolina, was it, and the Norris Center in Dayton, Ohio, NXT outdrew the show. And nobody pays the show any respect anymore, except for us three, me, you, and Sidgwick. Nobody pays this show respect anymore, even for the stuff that, like, you might think is rubbish. There's lots of fun to be found, but the critics hate the show, savage it every week, valueless trash. Garbage, things I would never find the time to watch. But worse than that, still. See these two numbers next to one another? Into the replies I go. Straight away, into the toilet I go. Put my scuba diving gear on, into the replies. Great big dead joker-like smile on my face. And what do I see? AEW Stan accounts, Freakazoids, like you're a one. He's saying, totally different. This is a pay-per-view. This is a premium live event. Motherfucker. Pass Grayson Waller in the street and tell me you know his name.
Yeah.
Because you do not.
We do.
Like, tell me, give me the win-loss record of Sir Wanks-a-Lot. I don't think you can, right? NXT, and we say it as incredulous as anybody else, is a growth product. Don't ask me how. Yep. I watch it every week. Yep. I can't tell you, but it is. And this show, Vic Joseph got it wrong. He said it was like, it's been 1,000 days or something since we invaded Portland. Excuse me, mate. I was in Dallas, standing live. Don't take the night away from me. Don't take the night away from Adam Wilborn. Do not take the night away from Tony D'Angelo, who retired to Tommaso Ciampa.
Yeah.
Never be seen again, apart from a pretty good run and roll. Like, big stuff went down. Cameron Grimes won the North American title that night, you know? Dolph Ziggler, ever heard of him? Won the main event. Why would they shy away from that show? As I give myself reasons for why that was. So this, they've done it, but it that was very much an experiment. It was over WrestleMania weekend. It's different. This was its own thing. And the people in that building, earnestly, that had paid money. These are not those, like, same 200 in Florida every week. These people had paid money to see characters they're invested in. And for the most part, reacted to them. This wasn't, oh God, we sold 200 tickets. Oh my God, we haven't got any fans. Like, out in the street in the middle of the day, giving free tickets away to the residents of North Carolina, wherever it was. These are people that had paid money to watch this, having watched the show.
Yeah.
Like, yes, we know that they could do a sellout in Newcastle, in like north of England, because we would fly it for them. But a crowd were invested and engaged and knew the stories and had made their, as we'll see in the main event, had made their choices about the number of wrestlers on this show. Like, these were being exposed to people for the first time, and it went down well. Yeah. I didn't even like half of the show, but it went down well in the building.
People can besmirch this product all they like. I maintain my love for it, especially when you compare it to the... I know the takeovers were a very different kettle of fish, but the dirge we had to sit through to all the latter days of NXT was just... I needed something like this in my life. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. I'd still be watching this if this wasn't my job, because it's a fun, it's an easy watch.
Yeah.
And I sat down and I thought, oof, is that going to translate to pay-per-view? Or are they going to try and hit the heights of takeovers and just be like, oh no. There was several moments on this show where I was jumping up and down. I was beaming. I was so happy. I was so invested in it. And that's all I want from my wrestling.
I'll give you, again, people might be listening to this. I feel like we're doing this sort of, if you've never listened to us before, if you've never watched NXT before, maybe they've jumped on because the show itself was they were probably looking at it as a jumping on point. I'll share with the listeners a story I shared with you this morning. We have a bit of fun with George Ezra's Green Grass, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
We love him. It's affectionate. George, we know you're listening. Green Grass is this great song that he kind of wrote probably first thing in the morning, and then went out and like did his big shop and then came back and was like, have you made a platinum hit? I think I have. I looked outside. What did I see? Grass over there sounds good to me. And wrote it down. Made a song. Rhyming couplets. Jobs are good. My 7-year-old son can do this, and thus highlights maybe the issue with the songwriting process. And we have some fun with this at the weekend. He came up with one. We were walking down the street and he goes, green, green grass, blue, blue sky, Big Dave Toilet's going to eat your bum. And when I finished popping, I dove into who exactly Big Davey Toilet was. And my son painted the picture of this monster that is half monster, half toilet.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And he eats people's bums.
Yeah.
Obviously. Big Davey Toilet's going to eat your bum. You could put that on NXT 2.0.
Yeah.
You could, like, that character, like, it could, he'd have a British accent, like, you know, for some reason. Like, oh, I'm Big Davy Toilet, because they'd say, if it was American, it'd be Big Davy Restroom.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Ugh.
Doesn't make any sense. Big Davy Toilet, however. I'm Big Davy Toilet. And for those in the NXT universe, you better watch your asses, or as we say, bums, because I eat them. And then, like, a character backstage in the locker room, yeah, it gives 5 minutes. You know what's happened? They've eaten a burrito, and it's given them the... Right, so they go to the toilet before the big match. We've seen this happen before. And then they don't come. And it's like, what's going on? We need to go backstage. The camera rushes backstage, down the entrance, all that cable. And then you just see them disappearing in. I'm Big Davy Toilet. I told you I'd eat your bum. I'm Prom Breaker. I'm Standing Deliver. I'm coming for you. Right, and then there we go. Main event set.
Yeah.
That's pretty much NXT.
Yeah.
And yet, a wrestling show.
Mm-hmm.
Explain that.
Well, I can't really explain the transition because... There's just, like they said, there's this mad bollocks, and it's going to be so weird to go from certain matches to others on this show. We have to kind of talk initially about the opening.
Yeah.
Charlotte Flair. I really like this as a genuine, like, I'll tell you what, if people have just decided, well, Vengeance, NXT's doing a Vengeance Day pay-per-view. I've not watched NXT for months, if not years.
Years, yeah.
Let's see what's going on. Mm. I quite like the way that they set all this up.
Yeah, I suppose they were trying to use Charlotte's star power. It looked different. It felt different. I have a bit of a pet hate with wrestlers, especially, not all of them are blood feuds, but especially when wrestlers are in blood feuds, I hate when they're brought together to stand awkwardly near each other. Like, I know it's a UFC thing.
Mm-hmm.
I do understand that it goes on.
That's why I kind of let it go.
But I find it a bit weird sometimes when it's like, I know sometimes there's an invisible wall, but I still rather the invisible wall than no wall at all. So it's a bit of a thing of mine. But it looked slick as out, and I can't fault the effort. Mm. Like, that's the thing. Even when I don't like a thing, I'm like big enough and stupid enough to say when something is good for the presentation, and this was.
And then we got into it with our first match, which I thought, we said before, it'll be a good match. Look at the guys in it, Dijak and Wesley, and two incredibly talented individuals who both could be on the main roster tomorrow. But it felt really predictable. And it just felt like it was going to be kind of a glorified squash for Dijak. And then they went out, and I'm not being hyperbolic. I maybe was a little bit in the intro. It felt like watching a takeover.
It did. It really
takeover did. Opener where they've been told, you're not really the big thing on this show. And they've gone, I'll show you with a big thing on this show. Just insane spots, bumps. That Death Valley driver early on the outside from Dijak looked great.
Yeah.
And just... impossible near falls and a finish that no one saw coming.
Like, people say a lot about NXT, but like the wrestlers on the show work their absolute arses off with their limb work, with their near fall work. Like, how do they do it? And do you think more people should respect them for them? Because I do. Like, this was takeover standard, and I didn't love this, but I liked it a great deal. And I will say that there was a point where the takeover formula for a lot of people had started to eat itself anyway. Like pre the pandemic, which is pretty much what was the death knells for NXT. Even a couple of takeovers before that, you were seeing the criticism, right, I get this now, I get this formula. And that stopped me from like loving this match because the formula is still fairly well worn to me and to my eyes as a viewer. However, what I will say is the sheer danger on display here, as we'll get to it by the finish as well, was impossible to take your eyes off. There was two bumps specifically that I had to isolate to show Andy Murray, of all people, this morning, because he approaches NXT from an extremely safe distance, the kind of distance most of us used to approach NXT UK from. I was like, I just want to show you this, like an excited kid. Like the Hurricane Rana bump, like these are not the kind of botches, so you're wary about celebrating them, and they really could have hurt themselves. But they didn't, so you're like, well, look at that, let's watch it again. The Hurricane Rana, where they try for that Splash Mountain counter where like you've got the power bomb and then they counter halfway through and all that, it just doesn't work and they under-rotate. And Dijak effectively tombstones himself and gets back up to fight another day. Oh my God. The half and half bump he took, you know the apron spot?
Yeah.
Booker T's in the middle of saying, oh, see, it's the hardest part of the ring. It's like, here we go, here comes the bump. Dijak only caught it with like half of his body. But then you're like, that's worse.
Yes.
Yeah, like a flat back on some hard joins, I get that. But a half back, isn't that worse? Aren't you bending, it's like Kota Ibushi and Tetsuya Naito. Aren't you folding yourself on this immovable object? Just terrifying. The finish, because we're going to get to the bit that I think we're most excited about in different ways. The finish itself happens, obviously, occurs. Wesley gets the win. And right before he hits his death blow finisher, they've collided. And if you've not seen it, Kind of have to go look at it unless you cannot physically cope with body horror. Dijak's finger breaks. Only it doesn't, apparently. Just gone numb, dislocated. It'll be fine. Like, there's a picture of him online flipping the bird. I don't know how he got his hand in his coat, because you have to put your hand together in like a
crawl. Oh, it goes through me every time I see it.
It is off to a 45-degree angle. That's the only way to describe it. Like, if you're not comfy with that, don't go and have a look. His finger is off to a 45-degree angle. His middle one at that. The tallest one. And he's fine, by all accounts. It's not fully broken. It's going to be healed somehow. It's... The referee had him holding it up to the camera until the camera caught it, because Jesus Christ, you need to get that. If that's going to happen to you, you better make some money with it. It's wrestling. And it just, like, the fans bought this. This felt like it's that North American title. It's Wesley's singles run. It's NXT in general. Like, we never really know what people truly care about. They cared about this.
Yeah. I take everything back I said about Dijak.
Yeah. He's very cheesy. He's very, maybe he's picked that as a lane. He's very sort of cliched and corny, but maybe he's thinking, well, I know what this company needs and I'll be that instead. Getting a broom out, whether or not it was a funny dig at Kenny Omega, is nice, because it keeps that discourse bubbling, which is good fun. And not in a billion, a trillion years, when the camera was tightly zoomed in on Dijak. By the way, let's set this up for people that haven't watched. Dijak has got Wesley on the outside and he's in charge. And he thinks to himself, right, what I could do is hit a big move, roll him back in and pin him. Or I could roll him back in and then hit my big move. Either way, I'm in charge. Yeah. Counter offer. Put him in a chair. Put a broom across his lap. Which could really easily move. But then,
slide it the way you slid it in.
Yeah. I'm in prison forever in this office chair. Position him. And then climb to the top turnbuckle. And just basically do a Hangman Page Orihara moonsault from that turnbuckle to Wesley in a chair. Potentially killing you both.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Dijak's like, I think I'll go for that. I'll take out that punk red forever. Goes for it. Camera is zoomed in super tight on Dijak. So you
know something's happening.
What's going on down there?
I'm picturing Wesley's going to catch him up there.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Like, something's occurring. Do you want to describe what occurs, Wubba?
All my dreams come true at once.
Yeah.
Because who runs in, jumps the barricade, and saves Wesley, helping him.
The funniest save ever, by the way. Because Wesley can't move. So they push the chair over, the office chair over with him in it, and he has to go, like, fall sideways in a wheelchair.
Yeah, it is Tony D'Angelo and Stax. I still can't do it.
Can't do the voice.
They come in, they make the save, and then they get hit with the mad thing off the top from Dijak. He's like, what the bloody hell are you two doing here? And then, yes, Wesley.
Stay out of my business.
Chucks him back in, breaks his own finger, or does whatever happens to cause that.
Huge Tony D chant. Tony D.
So over.
Do you think there's like there's a tiny corner of the room that maybe listen to our podcast going, and Stax after he's Tony D.
Yes.
And Stax.
I thought, you know, it was going to be Wesley's final title defense. Mm-hmm. I'm very glad that he's still got it. I'm excited to see what happens with Dijak next. And Tony D and Stax are still a cohesive unit.
So. Earnestly give this one a watch. If you're listening to this to wonder or not, like, maybe we can do that as we recommend. I would say find some time to watch this.
Yeah, anyway. Right, let's move on.
Yay!
Hiya, Stax. Congratulations on the payday.
Thanks, guys. Look at me. I'm working over the weekend. You'll normally see that.
I'm thinking about it now, and I'm realizing that you were kind of rich from your old job anyway. Yeah, so this is just correct. Pocket money, right?
Yeah. Where's Siggy?
He liked the show so much. He's
watching it now.
He's watching it again. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
We couldn't get him in for the room.
But anyway, you sit there, Stax. Watch out for the elephant, of course.
Oh, careful, big guy. Anyway, Hamlet.
Uh-huh.
You know, not normally me working at the weekend, as I said.
You did say that, and I realised how our improv could have got you away from that. Why might we need to go back to that subject, Stax?
I got a few things about the weekend.
Oh, really?
Have you ever heard the music of the weekend? I really got in. Shut up, you. I actually went camping the other weekend with my significant other.
There is a Mrs. Stax, is there?
Well, let's not put a label on anything.
Okay, yeah, playing it cool.
But I went camping with my significant other last weekend. Let me tell you, it was f***ing intense.
Oh! A bit bawdy, bit blue.
a bit
blue for this, Dad. I like that. Thanks, Stax. Yeah, it's a good one.
Anyway, three jokes for you. That was the setup, yeah.
Shagging the attempt, was it, yeah.
Different weekend I'm talking about now.
Of course.
Why was my weekend, Michael Hanflett, looking like a poorly...
Come on,
I can't get my goddamn words out. I'm not used to working Monday.
No, that's true. You've had a longer flight than normal. Yeah.
Tell me why I don't like Mondays, huh?
Was that boom down rats?
It was a boom down rats. Boom down rats. Why was my weekend? I hate those rats. Looking like a poorly organized herb gardener.
God, right, where to friggin' start? Wilborn, you're going to have to take this one with me, because Wilborn needs such...
A poorly organized herb gardener.
Herb gardener. Why was my weekend looking like a...
I have no idea. The wording of this is so weird.
15 different directions that goes. I'm not even going to try that one, Stacks. Why?
Let me tell you. I had nothing but time on my hands.
Oh, that's good. That
it's a high, but it's also a measurement of...
You're a tarragon of virtue. That's good.
Why couldn't the grape... Picture this. Why couldn't the grape help his friend move house on Saturday?
Oh, I don't know. Grape.
Grape.
Couldn't think of
bunch.
Couldn't think of a raisin.
Ooh.
Not to help.
He was in a bunch of trouble.
A bunch of trouble. I can see you're trying to steer me in a bunch, so it's definitely not going to be bunch. No. I mean, because you can see Stax's pad. Because you know what? I think Wilbon's nailed this because he's in a bunch of trouble.
Why couldn't the grape, picture there, grape assistant ran when he moved house on Saturday? Because he was in a jam!
Oh, it's you. Yeah, you've done us with a couple of jam ones lately. Like, when we stopped recording, you did this one about marmalade and jam.
I really like this last one.
You've already seen it, Wilbon.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to work some out by myself.
Joke number three, then I gats the goal. I'll see you on Tuesday. That's tomorrow, isn't it? God damn it.
A lot of air miles.
How does Tom York...
Yep. I'm excited for this. Okay.
Wake up on a weekend that doesn't coincide with his birthday. Picture that. Right. Lead singer, a goddamn Radiohead.
I'm stressed about this because I love Radiohead. Right. Tom York wake up on a weekend that's not his birthday.
Indeed.
A weekend... But your birthday is one day, Stacks. Right, albums. Pablo Honey, The Bends, OK Computer, Kid A, Amnesiac, Hill to the Thief, the ones where I kind of lost touch with them a little bit.
In Rainbows.
Rainbows, that was the one I remember paying £1 for that, because that was as much as I was prepared to go when they were giving it away for free.
I don't believe I paid the bare minimum myself. I said, well, in a few years' time, I still haven't paid a goddamn cent.
Maybe I'll buy the hard copy. I wasn't going to buy that. A Moon-Shaped Pool, that was a good radio album. He's got it set on his Google, whatever, Alexa, pick. I forget what they're called. And he goes, okay, computer.
It's good.
It's, I don't think
but
it is.
But it's not right. How does Tom York, you gotta delve into the nuances of the setup of the joke to really get this one. How does Tom York wake up on a weekend that does not happen to coincide with his birthday? With no alarms and no f***ing surprises! The way I tell it, God damn it! That is spectacular work. See you tomorrow, guys.
Bye, Stacks.
No alarms and no surprises.
He's done me there. That's really good. Strong stuff from Stacks. Says he was going to be back in. He's watching Vengeance Day downstairs now. When he's going to be back in the studio tomorrow, he's like going to wonder where the hell that standard's gone. Yeah. On whatever subject Stacks randomly arrives at that day. Have you seen this? Have you heard about it? Manchester City? You see this?
He stuck his head back in and said, that was on me attempting it, obviously. Should we continue talking about Vengeance Day?
Yeah. It's downhill from here, not going to lie.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Well, you say that.
Uh-huh.
But next up, it was for the women's tag team championships.
Yeah. I'm taking off my jacket for this.
It was.
Because it's getting hot up in here.
The longest reigning female tag team champions ever.
They hit you hard with that one, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Which way good is we going? If you didn't know from all these stats today, check out the boo-boo face on Katana Chance. She's not looked so f***ing miserable since somebody said she couldn't have a party with 20 people in the room because of a global f***ing pandemic. Watch your back. She is pissed.
Yeah. So, yeah, it is the tag team champions, Katana Chance and Kayden Carter, versus the team. I mean, can they coexist? Fallon Henley and Kiana James, flanked, of course, by Boris Johnson and Sir Wanks-a-Lot.
Of course.
And it was quite subtle, the story they told in this match. Basically, Fallon Henley, as previously when they've tagged together, hasn't got an issue with being a part of a tag team.
Nope.
Just wants to do it the right way. Kiana James will cut every corner possible.
Mm-hmm.
And initially, Fallon Henley sort of calls her out, don't do that. And I did like Briggs and Jensen being the cheerleaders at ringside. I thought they were genuinely really funny in that role.
Yeah, like, I was getting mixed up. Jensen Swanks a lot, isn't he? He's the one that is just, like, at this point, as close as he's ever going to getting his dick wet. It's not being vulgar. That's the story.
Yeah.
I like...
Oh, it's them.
He was kind of... He wasn't quite doing the, oh, what's that over there? Every time Kiana James would cheat, but he was... Done it again, didn't she? Like, maybe a bird got inside, maybe. Not a bird person. Like, just any kind of squirrel. Like, just really looking his best, kind of, it's less than ideal.
And there was a bit, there was a bit on the outside, wasn't it, where one of the women sort of flirted with him briefly.
Yeah.
John James was like, get your hands off my man.
Yeah, because, like, we haven't yet learned the origin of Zach. It's a brother. But, like, I like the fact that here she was fully committed to his cause and committed to him so that he'd be committed to her. And then it turns out, it works.
Yeah. So I'll just skip to the finish because it was a...
Match was bang average.
Yeah. Yep. Fallon Henley's in there.
Uh-huh.
And Kiana James is running interference, getting rid of...
Yeah, they're setting up the high-low finish thing.
That's
they do,
it, yeah.
Neckbreaker into the 450 splash.
I think it was Casey Catanzaro who was up ready to jump off the top, obviously, because she does the mad flippy thing. Mm-hmm. Kiana James shoves her off. She eats crap on the floor.
She sure does.
And... Fallon Henley reverses Kayden Carr, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Reverses her, gets her in a pinning combination, and then you see from just on the outside, Kiana James holding the legs down.
Yeah.
One, two, three. Fallon Henley and Kiana James can coexist, uh-huh. And now they are your new women's tag team champions. I was so happy with this.
Me too, and not just because it's great for our in-universe bullshit. there is a good, if you watch NXT regularly or if you listen to our podcast, you will know there is a good, I'm not going to use Cedric because I nearly did, dovetailing story going on.
I think it's worthy of it.
Between these two being able to coexist and now they've won the belts, between Kiana James seducing Jensen and between Fallon Henley owning a bar that may be the reason why Kiana James is seducing Jensen. It's all happening. And now they've won the belts and the visual of each cowboy idiot holding the woman they like on their shoulders for like a chicken fight celebration was just inspired. These two morons. Like them. Well, nothing could possibly go wrong in our life. I can't believe the situation has worked itself out. And then there's a backstage segment later on, which I actually thought was better than some of the stuff that they've been doing. Well, like, I don't know if they've watched the footage. That's not explained. They're going to have to for this storyline to work. But like Fallon Henley's looking at the title being like, oh my God, I did it. Like I won a belt. And the implication, I think, is right, I've seen the footage and I can see that Keanu James cheated for me, but like sometimes a shortcut is for the best. And now we've got
and
this.
And there would be massive arseholes in the build to us as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, like maybe they had this one coming. And if and when... Why am I talking about this? If and when she loses the bar, she's only going to have herself to blame and she's going to have to do things the right way. Like yeah. That feels like that's where all this will go.
Trust me,
and
if you want to turn the schism, if you want to turn people to the dark side, here's how you do it.
Just like, I can't believe I'm suddenly invested. Like, oh no, you've gone down a dark path. And like, you know what's going to happen, don't you? Keanu James is going to like, there's going to be a couple of other things that makes Fallon Henley trust her methods. You know what this bar needs is corporate cocktail night.
Ooh.
Fallon Henley's going to be like, all right, and then the take-ins are going to be through the roof, and like all of a sudden, Fallon Henley is going to be corrupted, and the like Briggs is going to be the last holdout. Like, and Jensen's like, "Come on, Briggs, let your hair down."
I remember what this bar used to be like, charging for peanuts on the bar.
Yeah, when we used to play darts with your mama, Fallon. Is that like again? We're not referencing them defending the tag titles.
What
or
the
wrestling.
Hell is this music on that jukebox now? Huh?
I remember one time Stax came in, he was hitting that thing like the Fonz, and even he couldn't get it to work. Or change around here.
So yeah, two perfect matches so far on this show.
Sometimes in wrestling, we've seen evidence of this before, you've got this amazing story, and the one thing the story misses is championships and titles. Mm-hmm. And in NXT, putting the tag belts on Fallon Henley and Keanu James, hands have linked together. Finally, the hottest story in women's tag wrestling has got the women's tag titles. Mm-hmm. We are where we need to be.
What came next? It was time for the 2 out of 3 falls match, pitting Carmelo Hayes against Apollo Crews. So loud, that.
Really loud.
To edit that afterwards.
That's that sounds like a problem for Big Davey Toilet.
This didn't live up to expectations, if I'm perfectly honest.
Nah.
Like it started off well. Two incredibly talented performers, of course.
Like Carmelo Hayes, 2 straight falls.
Yeah.
Big nod. Big nod. Of like...
And I will say as well, I loved Melo's entrance with Trick just saying, look at all these accolades. He felt like the biggest deal.
It was big time. It was big time stuff. I don't know. It felt a bit undercooked.
Yeah.
The whole thing felt a bit underthought and never really felt the... They tried to do the thing where Carmelo Hayes gets the first fall and then all the drama is in the second fall because Apollo Crews has got to win it to stay in the game. And I don't think they got anywhere close to like...
Like neck sturf, wasn't it? They were doing and rib sturf with Melo.
It didn't... We've unfortunately, right, I love Carmelo Hayes. We all do. Everybody loves Carmelo Hayes. The act with Trick Williams is brilliant as well. It's so weird that we watch this show and like love it for all the stupidity and then occasionally analyze it as a wrestling show.
Yeah.
But the one thing I will say for Carmelo Hayes that advocates him staying in NXT rather than going to the main roster, not that you need 100% hit rate, you don't, but sometimes the expectation level is set at a reasonable level and he doesn't surpass it.
Yeah.
And I don't know yet if maybe that's what, look, end of the show, they're basically setting him up as a logical potential next NXT champion. Maybe that's the play.
Yeah, stand and deliver us. He's got to stand tall as the champion for me.
I think so. And maybe like little matches like this where it's not quite there yet is justification for that. I don't know. Maybe sometimes we're aiming higher than even WWE want for him just yet because it's clearly all there, but you just don't get it. I would say maybe he's match-wise, he's maybe a 7 out of 10 guy and he presents himself as like a 9 or a 10 out of 10 guy.
Yeah.
Feels harsh, that. I love him, but it just, this has happened before.
Trick Williams, great as always. Loved his shirt that he was wearing.
Oh, man. A look, charisma out the ass. Like, we say this as well. They're a perfect act.
Yeah.
They are a, do not tinker with this one bit.
But yeah, he got, eventually, there was bits with turnbuckles getting exposed and the like. He got the submission victory initially, and then, you know, Apollo's suffering from his neck, but that allows them to get a DQ, basically. Mm-hmm. And it looked like that was going to be the case. Apollo Crews in control. Trick Williams decides, because he's been tempted to do it throughout this match, he's got a steel chair. He's going to swing it. And who should take it off him? But Dabba Kato, mm-hmm. or Commander Aziz, I don't really know what name he's got. Yeah. They said Dabba Kato mainly on commentary. Grabs it off him, distracts the performers in the ring, but makes sure that that can't be utilised. And then Melo just won.
Yeah. And then you could kind of feel where this was going. After
exactly.
There was a bit of, I'm going to give him some credit here. There was a bit of artful LTST done in the video package. Apollo Crews kind of recapped why he'd come back to NXT.
Yes,
and he
yeah,
said,
yeah, yeah.
I know what it's like to take the prestigious Intercontinental title out of WrestleMania. And they show the footage of him winning. It was a Nigerian drum fight match against Big E.
Is that the latest one, or they've had more of them, haven't they?
I think that was the last one, you know.
Oh, okay.
They want to preserve that in amber. And of course, Commander Aziz made his presence felt there, and that was like the big moment. And I think they've put that there on purpose, just to give anybody a chance of like, oh yeah, like them two, Apollo got it done, and now here he is again, and this time he didn't save him, and then of course we got what came in the aftermath.
Mm.
Which I believe you have more to say on this.
It just pisses me off that there was just bad faith takes on this on Twitter. Not used to this in wrestling.
Mm.
But people saying, you always complain, and I disagree with this when people say it anyway. Mm-hmm. You know how I feel. I make a joke about it when they bring in a Timothy Thatcher or whoever it may be, Kushida. The idiots are like, I don't know who that is. Well, Google's right there, mate, mm-hmm. and you should know. And even if you don't, how about you just trust that it's probably going to be a good wrestling match?
Yep.
So because I don't subscribe to those takes, I feel like I'm in a position where I can turn around to people and say, don't try it. Don't try that with WWE. Don't say, how am I meant to know who this Dabba Kato guy is? Especially with this product. Because at the end of the day, NXT is the hardcore of the hardcore who mm-hmm. watch this show, certainly nowadays. So they probably should know Dabba Kato that way anyway, because they're just WWE fans, and he's been in WWE for quite some time. He's on Raw Underground as well, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. But also, yeah, he's literally been at WrestleMania in the midst of an Intercontinental Championship match.
Commentators were saying that to his old friend, they did that little handshake before.
He's not someone from the Indies who used to work with Apollo Crews.
Nope.
So I thought I didn't agree with that. Bad faith take.
Very much so.
He killed Apollo Crews after the match.
Turns on him after the match, so you helped him out there, but it wasn't really to help him out. It was to just make his presence known. Apollo Crews Dabba Kato, why not? Like, let's have a look at that.
Yeah.
Let's see what, like, jury's out on really how good, what the ceiling is for that. But it's, fancy a bit of a look at that. And Apollo Crews, again, like, well, you didn't see that coming, did you? So your magic power's not so magic, pal.
Yeah, how does it work?
See in the future. Well, again, I've said this before, if you could see the future, you'd get the lottery numbers, you'd certainly not fall on your back for a living.
Right, then it was time for the Fatal 4-Way for the NXT Tag Team titles. It was The New Day versus Gallus versus Chase U.
Hey!
Got a nice hometown reaction for Andre Chase.
Whole thing
versus Pretty Deadly. Thoughts on their gear?
Yes, boy! They looked unbelievable. I tell you, his gear did not look good. Kel Surprise, Gallus. Did you see New Day ripping the piss out of how terrible they looked?
Yes.
Like
pay-per-view.
On main, effectively, like, stood there going, the state of you, mate. I love green in wrestling. It's an underused colour, green. I don't think I do anymore.
You've ruined green for me.
Like, if, I don't know, like,
who is it?
Seth messes around with colours and stuff. If Seth came out in, like, bright green at WrestleMania, I'd be like, oh my God, that's awesome. Like, MJF against CM Punk in the green that matched the picture of him when he was a kid in the green, like, and I get green's great. Green is money. Like Carmella at Money in the Bank. There's loads.
Grass. Of green.
Green grass, yeah. There's going to be no blue skies while Gallus got these belts. Nothing but dismal grey crowds. I think the most January weather of all tag teams are Gallus.
Yeah, I've got to be honest. I had my horses I was backing in this match.
Yeah.
As much as I love, I can't remember whether it was Elton or Kit who said, stop chopping me in this match, which was just sensational.
Great partner.
And the New Day. The New Day, if you don't like them, I don't care for you as a person. But I wanted my boys and girls, Thea Hale, brilliant, just screaming at ringside.
I sound like a moaner here. I would have been very, very content, perfectly happy even, for like any of three teams in this match to walk out as tag team champions.
So I love Chase Yu, obviously. In this match, I thought there was at least one. And I thought they might for a split second. Duke Hudson looked huge in this match. Even when he got put through the table, I went, that's probably the last I've seen of him.
Yeah, I heard the table selling it because he looks so massive. I've refused to engage in this ludicrous conversation. Well, it's not ludicrous. I understand it. I refuse to engage this conversation that's going on online at the moment about like WWE taking some pretty big risks if they head for the WrestleMania main event they're going for. I think I agree. Because can you really justify headlining Night 2 with a bloodline when the Chase Yu story also exists?
It's really good.
And it's good stuff.
Yeah, there's a bit where he got in there. Obviously, he's hometown favourite. And even though people know they're supposed to kind of boo Chase Yu, yeah, kind of fall in love with Andre Chase because he's the best.
Thea Hill was ace here as well as cheerleader on the outside. She's brilliant. Like, she is absolutely brilliant in this role.
Gives 100% every time, and I love her for it.
Yeah.
And there's a bit where it looked like Andre Chase might win it for his team, but in the end, I can feel myself giving up on this because I know where we're heading. There were some great spots in there. Pretty Deadly looked great. The New Day, doing New Day stuff, fantastic. You know my love for Chase Yu. I'm going to be biased, but in the end, Gallus pinned Xavier Woods. Gallus are the ones you've chosen out of these teams.
Gallus boys on top. They get the rub, I guess, from pinning Xavier Woods. I don't think it'll work. But we'll see. Shawn Michaels loves them. Don't know why. We'll never know why. We always said that he kept one eye on NXT UK. Don't know why either. That show sucked.
You're getting Booker to do it on commentary to put them over.
Yeah, everybody was. Look, I would be kinder to them if they weren't also the least interesting aspect of this match. And this is where they won the belts. Like, it sounds like we're just constantly on Gallus's case. This is quite a colourful and effervescent tag division. And they are the opposite of both those words. And I just, when are we going to, like, you know, the Chase Yu stuff at this point is super hot and fun and dramatic. And Andre Chase almost getting it done only to eat. That was pretty great, and I felt vindicated for you as well, because you've really gone to bat for this story, and the fans were with it, and I thought, yeah.
Thank you, yeah.
Everyone was right.
I was trying to work out, I was pulling some faces as you were talking there, I was trying to work out if you had like an Intercontinental, not now, when the Intercontinental Championship maybe didn't mean as much as it does now, but you had an IC title match, right, and you had in it Cameron Grimes, we're gonna not do the voice just for a second to keep it relatively serious.
Yeah,
Cameron Grimes, MJF, who's like just a super over baby face. Cody Rhodes.
Okay.
And you went, and the winner is Vladimir Kozlov.
Yeah, exactly that.
Like, you got so many different variations of good guys, bad guys, whatever you want, you know, personalities is what I was aiming at, basically. And you, like, no offense to him, but I don't watch NXT UK. And I've not been told any reason to care about these boys. And I can already see they're going to have a tag team title match against Chase Yu, where they're probably going to split.
Yep.
They're going to have a tag team title match against maybe the New Day, where they're going to run it back. And Joe Coffey's going to come back and save them.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to retain the tag titles.
Forgot that he's still.
So they're holding them until at least WrestleMania for me.
Oof.
Get it off them.
Like, doesn't make good telly, does it?
What was wrong with Pretty Deadly?
Oh, hang on. Is this all set up? They like fighting in pubs, don't they?
Yes.
Do we have a fight in Fallon Henley's bar and Boris Johnson and Sir Lancelot win the belts and you've got like the men's and women's champions get to like clink belts together?
Oh, now hang on a second. A
Fallon Henley bar fight. And it saves the bar. It's like, because it draws such a huge crowd.
Yeah.
Kiana James books it. She sets up like an illegal fighting ring in the bar, like Raw Underground, but she was like, let's do an NXT main event.
I've been chatting to that David Kato lad. He seems to know a fair bit about it.
Yeah, he's bang game into it. There's a mysterious investor that's been sitting around with his thumb up his arse with money to spend. He keeps saying it sounds like a sick, sick idea. And he wants to fund it. And it's going to save the bar. And finally, he's like, all right, let's do it. And like, so Ancelot and Brogs win the belts off these.
Anyone.
Yeah.
ABG. Anyone but Gallus.
Uncle Howdy and Bray Wyatt versus Gallus in a NASCAR race and a wrestling match. And then if it finishes 1-1, they have a decider in the bar.
And if you're wondering about that, check out the SmackDown.
You. Bit of lore.
Right, finally time for the two main title matches, triple threat for Roxanne Perez, Gigi Dolin and JC Jane for the NXT Women's Championship, and a steel cage match for the NXT Championship. Hey, one that was not able to be won by escaping the cage.
Yeah. Like, that addresses a pretty substantial criticism of WWE steel cage matches. And it did so in a way that made you think that maybe they're going to do that in NXT all the time. I can't see that happening on the main roster. I think the company, even with Triple H, that I just feel too tied to the escape thing and generations.
I was thinking about this as I was watching it. Keep the escape thing for anything that's not a title match.
Maybe because you got to pin or submit the champion. Yeah, maybe. It was weird. This, like, I don't mind them getting rid of that forever. I think you've got to undo a lot of Vince McMahon hypnotism on cage matches.
Yeah, save the escaping to win the title for a Punjabi prison match.
Please. Of course, this is it. You've got four separate doors that drop after a 30-second countdown, like any good Punjabi prison match. You know, respect the rules. But what...
This is Big Show's match, guys.
What got me here was that this was... Like, if this was a Grayson Waller stipulation, like him trying to, I don't want climbing contests, but if anyone should be selling pain and crawling out the door, I've taken four spears, but I've just kicked him in the dick. I've got a chance here. Crawl, crawl, crawl. It was Grayson Waller.
Yeah.
So this felt like, well, do his first act. I thought both these title matches were massive disappointments in truth. The men's title match more so than the women's.
Quick word on the Golden Shoe. That was perfect.
Golden Shoe was good.
Got that is shoeies.
The Scott Steiner chainmail entrance with all my freaks like there. And I saw as well, there was a nice video where all of them are like current Performance Center trainees. And they did a thing in the hotel the night before, you know, when it's like that glow up app where you put your hand at the camera. So they're like just in the hotel room messing around. And then somebody puts their hand to the camera and they come
up. Oh, yeah.
They're all in the gear to being part of Grayson Waller's entourage. So that's quite a nice thing for the trainees to have in this big crowd. Yeah. Nice big opportunity. But a nothing happening match with... Again, Grayson Waller actually goes viral when he's allowed to be patter. Them saying that half-cock superplex that wasn't really even from the cage, it was from the top rope. Looks like Grayson Waller got his... I don't know why he's Tony Khan instead of Vic Joseph. Looks like Grayson Waller got his viral moment. I don't think he did, Vic. Yeah. I'm not sure anyone's going to rewatch this. And the point where the match was getting dull enough that the fans were starting to boo Bron Breakker. And then when he got the win, there was that like sort of... Dare I say it, because we've talked a lot recently about Sami and Cody and how those fans have disappeared. That kind of mid-2010s Roman Reigns, should we go for the car now and beat the traffic? Mm. As Bron Breakker was celebrating, I watched his reign end here. Like, he celebrated at the top of that cage. I was thinking, you have to transition that belt at WrestleMania because you're losing what you've built.
Yeah.
With Bron. Like the spear kicked ass.
Absolutely.
Like, I thought he was going, like, I don't want to use this comparison. I thought he was going, like... Remember when Goldberg concussed Vince Russo because he speared him so hard the helmet came
off?
I thought that's where Grayson was headed because this was a bit like...
So when he just sat him up and was like, I'm going to kill you for what you did to me. He looked like a badass.
Kind of dramatic, but the fans had lost interest in Bron Breakker by then, so it didn't register the way it should have done. The match just had nout happening. There was no heat or drama or anything. Big, big disappointment in truth. And I think that's why I was thinking about the stipulation. I was like, I could have taken a climbing contest here. But yeah, I guess they've got to break her in Hayes. Women's one, it just was too obvious. Bit petrol-y, this one.
I had the feeling, and I don't know where I got this thought from, that the two Toxic Attraction ladies may have been told to do certain facials during this match.
I reckon that was maybe an instruction. I don't know. Sometimes the wrestlers are so subtle.
You're crazy!
So subtle with it that you just think, are you acting under instruction? Because I can't tell. The... Stupidest thing they could have done, and we said this in the weekly reviews, you cannot do the idiot baby face, we were friends all along, and then you turn on each other in the match anyway. You cannot do that.
I said this before.
They have already said, you must think we're stupid if you think we're turning on each other. We're going to... And they did.
Someone has to lose.
Yeah. Like,
out of the two. Like I said, I'm not sure if you were even here, but I think it was me and Sig maybe when we were talking about NXT. And I was like, if it was... Me and Sig, right, for example, fighting you, and we were like, look, it's basically a handicap match, but at the end of the day, one...
I am that much harder than both of you.
Indeed. Yeah. Right. You are the Roxanne Perez to my Gigi Dolin.
I will
Sig
definitely take
JC
this, yeah.
Jane. Actually works with Gigi Dolin and Jane. Anyway. But yeah, just say, all right, toss a coin, heads or tails, heads. Right, you pin Hamflet, and then I get the first title shot.
Yeah.
Done.
And that can be a fair fight. Winner, the winner is the best.
Yeah.
Like, though, you know, the actual...
And I won't make you do any gauntlet stuff. I'll come out on the first show after this and say,
well, you know, I couldn't have done this without my partner, and then maybe you can pretend you hate me, and then we'll make loads of money. In kayfabe, we're going to make loads of money, and I'm going
to challenge. Whoever is the best gets the belt. Yeah. But no. Like, they'd gone to the trouble of faking hating each other for 2 weeks to make the baby face look thick, which was bad booking, only to get to the pay-per-view and making each other look thick by turning on each other the same. It's like, oh no, we forgot the stipulation. Oh my God, we forgot the stipulation of the match. Like, it's just so stupid. They put a table out there. There was that construction tells me they had a slight panic about how this match was going to go, because it was like, what's the safest thing you can do for a pop is put a table there. So Gigi Dolin, the finish was fine, like the construction of it.
Yeah.
She's out.
Super pop rocks, yes please.
Yeah, that allows like Roxanne Perez to get that awesome finish. But just that like bit in the middle where you got the three of them. Oh, it's a three-way fight to the death, is it? Because it doesn't really feel like one. And like Roxanne Perez, I'm not doing that thing where like the rest of the media, of which I'm a part of, and we're all guilty of sometimes, you have your favourites and you have that thing where you apply a load of biases to your favourites and then in the era of scripted promos, if a promo's really good, it's like, that wrestler just did a great job. If promo's terrible, WWE can't script.
Yeah.
If you're a WWE writer, you must be thinking, hang on a second. Like, I told CM Punk to say a pipe bam, and he said it, and now Punk's getting the credit. You know, that I'm aware of biases, right? Roxanne Perez was amazing in that 5 minute spell she had in the Rumble. She kicked ass, right? She was leagues above loads of the like long tenured pros. I want to give her the pass here because I feel like the construction of this was just set up, was doomed to fail,
and
she was a part of it. Not a great night for the two kind of champion cornerstones of the brand, in truth. Like, back to back, like, this kind of showed. Went out with a whimper.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. Nevertheless, great to see NXT back out on the road.
More of it, I think. It looks like a completely... It looks and feels almost like a wrestling show, Whisper It, when you see it in buildings like this compared to the Performance Center, and obviously what that must do for the talent. Like, untold benefits. They'll be, like, some of them will be so motivated having gone out in that and performed in front of that crowd, and you'll see the growth and the benefit as well.
Mm. Yeah, excited to see what comes next from all this, particularly with Mello and Breaker. It's going to be a good time to be Trick Williams' midsection. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, well, maybe, you know, like how Grayson Waller used the metal plate. Maybe Trick Williams is so cut that, like, Breaker's the spear and he gets knocked out again, but it's just on Trick Williams' abs.
I like that. Well, we'll talk more about it on the NXT preview tomorrow, but for now, let us know your thoughts on NXT on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Well, actually, you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts. The SmackDown review and the Rampage review available right now. And me, Sige and Hamflett will be back a little bit later on today to look ahead to Monday Night Raw. But for now, this has been the Vengeance Day review. My thanks to Michael Hamflett. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.